Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In a recent article for Broadly, Mitchell Sunderland writes that 21 reality TV stars have committed suicide over the past 10 years. Now, that's compared to an average of 12.93 suicides for every 100,000 Americans in the general population back in 2014. As reality television continues to grow, gobbling up more and more network hours, that extraordinarily high suicide rate indicates a growing mental health problem within the community. Sunderland's article profiled the wellness coach, Allison Barnard, whose work is now focused on this very visible, though clearly vulnerable population. And she's on the line to tell us more about her work. Allison, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So you've been a wellness coach for nearly 10 years. 3 years ago is when you began the Luminary program. Now, what is that?
So the Luminary program is via phone, and we essentially spend time mapping out systems and practices that will help the reality star. So I cover things like, how do you help your family and friends transition as you become a star? How do you cope with a loss of anonymity? How do you set good boundaries? How to be careful with money? And a big one is how to be careful with social media and how to avoid isolation and how to create a team of people around you who are there to support you and mentor you.
So why this particular program in this particular community? Were you responding to a need that you saw in this community? Did you come to it by chance? I'm curious.
Well, it was a combination of things. I grew up when reality television first started. And as the years have gone on, I noticed that people were marketing themselves like never before. And these are very real people with very real struggles, kind of putting themselves out there for public consumption and that sometimes become news headlines. And it didn't take much time for me to realize that there was a need for this type of support. I'm not a therapist and was very clear about creating a program that offered support and tools for transitioning into public life. So, you know, it's a small number of people. It really is in the grand scheme of things, but it's an important group to be supporting because of the effect that they have on their viewers.
That's an important point. I mean, the number of reality TV shows has skyrocketed since the early 2000s. So a lot of people are watching them. But mental health in particular as an issue for people who appear on these shows. Do you think that there are, what is it that makes them more susceptible? Do you think there's something about the character or personality of someone who's in a reality TV show that makes them more vulnerable?
Well, first you have to think about why they do it. So usually people who sign up for reality shows are people who believe that they really know themselves fairly well. There sometimes is a component of stability that they have to have in order to have the courage to be on a reality show. But at times, there are shows that sort of seek people who have that courage, but maybe have some slight emotional instability, or sometimes they seem completely emotionally stable, but they bring something unique to the cast of characters that they're trying to find. A lot of times, these people have something that they want to market. It might be business or it might just be themselves. But when they're forced to interact with people who they might not normally choose to, this cast of characters that's been chosen for a show, that can propel them toward acting in ways that they wouldn't normally, thus creating the drama needed on the show. So
yeah, that makes for good television if you think about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. So a lot of times it's not so much that the networks are looking for people who are unstable, it's that they put them in such a unique situation that it's almost impossible to remain stable under those conditions because it's a social experiment and it can be really difficult to witness yourself in that situation on the air.
As reality TV shows have proliferated, so has the incidence of suicide among those who are current and former reality TV stars. We're speaking with Allison Barnard, whose work is focused on helping reality TV stars in particular cope with their sudden fame, fortune, and attention and help them transition back to regular lives. Well, you mentioned, Allison, social media, creating this environment where stars are interacting more and more with the people who are watching them. Mm-hmm. How is that affecting their sense of self?
Well, okay. So a lot of people have given me the feedback that if you don't know who you are, the public can define you. However, it's also true that whoever you are at your core, you become an amplified version of that. So you start to feel this very real piece of yourself get stronger. But at the same time, you're dealing with a society watching a show that even though there's a part of them that knows it isn't real, they kind of think it's real and they talk publicly as though it is. And a lot of reality stars are susceptible to producers and editors kind of creating the narrative on the show that they want with these very real personalities. But then these reality stars, they bear the brunt of that public reaction when they read what's in the tabloids or they read what's on social media. And that piece is where it can get very sketchy for reality stars, because there's some people who are vulnerable to thinking, gosh, this whole group of people thinks that this is how I am. Is that how I am? And that's when you start to see reality stars start to act out and start to self-medicate and start to get really scared. And a big piece of my work is to be there on the front end of that reaction and really prepare them for what is the difference between who you know you are and who society is starting to say you are. And at some point, there may come a time where therapy is really critical.
So you said you're helping them sort of on the front end, you know, as they're becoming famous. What sort of resources do networks provide for the people on reality shows?
You know, I can't say personally because I'm not speaking directly to a lot of the networks, but I can say that a lot of my clients and a lot of people I interviewed have simply said there's just not enough. I get the sense that there just isn't a clear enough preparation for what's coming down the road for these people when they sign up. And it really is possible to explain it. There's even reality shows overseas in the UK, for instance. And at the very beginning of the show, they say some of this content is scripted or not everything that you're going to see is real. And just that one sentence can provide these reality stars an opportunity to say and legally be able to say, well, that moment wasn't really what happened. And that allows them to maintain their sense of self. So I think that there's an opportunity for the networks to do a lot more. And it's to their benefit to see these reality stars thoughtfully signing another year contract instead of finding people who are feeling stuck, like they have to sign another one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does make sense. And you know, it also makes sense that there's a real difference between people who are on traditional television and movies, that they are playing a role. They know they're playing a role. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are probably encouraged to play the most outrageous parts of themselves on reality TV. But that opens up something, Allison. I mean, you know, I'm not the only person who's looked at a lot of reality television shows and thought, oh, seriously? There's a show about, overweight American hog farmers who live in trailer parks and hang out. You know what I mean? The kind of craziness. There's a little sense of like, okay, you're putting yourself in this role. Is this a portion of the population that also doesn't get so much sympathy from the rest of us?
Yeah, and that's understandable. I think that with shows like that, first of all, there's a number of times that reality stars or reality talent has been told that the show is going to be something very different than what it ends up being. And once they sign that contract, it's not only a non-disclosure, so they can't say certain things, but they can't even they just can't defend themselves in the way that they would like to. At the same time, we all know someone who is struggling. And we all have someone in our lives who maybe is drinking too much or who is eating too much or is doing something to cope with some sense of pain that they're struggling with. And sometimes, definitely not all of them, I have to be so clear about that, but sometimes people who go on reality shows are struggling with something. I understand the natural inclination to think, well, you signed up for this, but sometimes it is not what they signed up for. It really isn't. Sometimes they think that they're doing something good or they're doing something fun. Sometimes they're just coping with some sense of themselves that is not in a good place. But that, again, is where we as the viewers have to be so careful in judging these people, because they're people and they deserve as much support as they can, especially when it's being done for the viewers' consumption benefit.
Allison Barnard, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Allison Barnard, she's a wellness coach and founder of the Luminary Program, which focuses on helping reality TV stars transition from their public lives and maintain balance before and after shooting a series. We found out about her work through Mitchell Sunderland's article, The Woman Teaching Reality TV Stars How Not to Go Crazy on Broadly. You'll find a link to read that article on Broadly, along with a link to more on the Luminary Program at wordofmouthradio.org.